right off the bat, Lawrence Lessig.
So when I was a kid, I had this defining conversation with my dad. My dad was a capitalist, what do I say? He was a guy who built bridges. And my dad said to me one day, he was whining about somebody who had reneged on a promise, and I said to him, "Dad, you know, why don't you sue him?" And this shock came across my dad's face, and he looked at me and he said, "You know, son, two kinds of people out there. There are people who sue, and there are people who build. People who sue, people who do, people who attack, or people who build." My dad said, "We are people who build. We are not people who sue. You have to be one or the other." Now, that made me decide I was going to be a law professor, because I was going to prove to him there was a third kind, people who build, people who sue for a living. That's what I do. But I was reminded about this conversation when I had a conversation with a man named Eric Eldred. Eric, as you know, is the lead plaintiff in our case, Eldred versus Ashcroft. Eldred versus Ashcroft challenges the Copyright Term Extension Act, the Sonny Bono Copyright Term Extension Act, the Mickey Mouse Protection Act. Eric Eldred is the person who's been fighting this campaign for much longer than we've been involved in the fight. And about 2 years ago, I said to Eric, "Well, let's sit down and talk about the strategy. Here's what we're going to do, and here's what's going to happen." And a certain glaze came over Eric's face, and he turned to me and he said, "Look, you know, as much as this case is important, it's not so important to me that we sue and we win this particular case. What I want to happen out of this process is that we build something. We build something that itself helps build a public domain. We build something that will increase the creative work available for others to reuse. You can have your case." He was happy we were bringing it. He was happy we were fighting it. But what he said was, "What's important is not the case. What's important is what it builds." And so, we built, at Eric's suggestion and at the suggestion of Hal Abelson, something new. Recognizing that this ability to build from our creative richness was who we were as a people. When copyright law in this country began, it began as a tiny little regulation leaving much free. As copyright law was then, it embraced the rip, mix, burn culture that Apple sells us today. It embraced an idea that people had the right to collect for their creative work, but then others could build on top of it. That was our past. It's not our present. Not our present, because over time, this space of free creation has shrunk, and this space of copyright's control has expanded, and we now have a reality much different from our past, and that's the reality that Eric Eldred asked us to build something to change. And so we created an ideal, that we could create an organization that would attempt this ideal of balance again, to rebuild balance in this process, to cultivate balance in this process, to encourage it to build something new, to enable a public domain. This is what we built Creative Commons for. Now the creative, look, I go from black screen to green screen. It's hopeful already, watch. Creative Commons is a series of projects, all of them designed to build a public domain, to increase the creative work available for others to use. Tonight, we're going to announce two of these projects. The first of them will be a licensing project that will enable people to share their work more easily with others. The second is a project we've called the Founders Copyright. The licensing project will build machine-readable licenses for making some rights free to others. Some rights free. The founder's copyright is a voluntary expression by creators that they will adopt the term of protection that the founders of our copyright system would have allowed, 14 years renewable once. Not the 95 years yet to be increased again, but 14 years renewable once. Now, tonight, we launched the founder's copyright because of the donation of O'Reilly and Associates of 200 titles of their Tim O'Reilly committed to this idea many months ago. Of course, it takes lawyers many, many months to figure out how to do what anybody wants to do, but we're finally close to an understanding that makes it possible that that creative work will be guaranteed to pass completely unencumbered into the public domain within 14 years, and Tim also will be embracing the Creative Commons licenses and new work he produces from now on. This is the expression of balance in this process. A creator and the creators he represents who want to make money off of their creation but recognize that they need to set up a structure to give back the tools so others can build on top of their work. So O'Reilly is the first, and others will follow in the next couple of weeks on our website as donators into this founder's copyright domain. But this process is about producing something different. Many of you have been in this battle for many years. A battle to say something that gets the attention of people about what's at stake in this struggle. This organization, Creative Commons, wants to say something that captures the imagination of wildly different sorts out there. So watch this trick that I'm going to do, building a different type of discourse about copyright law. First, we hear from the great John Perry Barlow. John's a little slow sometimes. He's coming, I promise.
Howdy, I'm John Perry Barlow, and I'm really sorry I am not there with you tonight. I think this is an enormously important occasion, and I think what you're creating here is an enormously important organization. I think that implicit in freedom of speech is the right to know, and the right to know what all people know. Creative Commons, by setting up essentially a conservancy of the mind, is preserving and expanding that right to know and making it possible for the fruits of human intelligence to not only be known, but to be stewarded, protected, and taken proper care of. I think we have an enormous transition to go through as a species as we get away from the notion that thought is inherently possible to us. I personally think that there is something deeply oxymoronic about the term intellectual property. But as long as we have set up a huge matrix of laws and social understandings that traffic in that assumption, we have to meet the conditions as we have found them and to use what exists to preserve the human patrimony. In the final analysis, what you are doing now is to assure that your great-great-great-great-great-grandchildren will have access to the glories of your age and all others, and that it will not be buried in the bodies of the institutions that are trying to clutch it to their breasts even as they totter dying. Thank you.
Now, never before in the history of man, on the very same stage, endorsing the very same ideal, I bring you Jack Valentine.
Thank you. Yeah, I won't do it.
I'm glad to be here, be in this video. I wish I could be there in person. But I've debated Larry Lessig three times now. And all of my friends say, why on earth are you debating Larry Lessig, the most brilliant lawyer in America? Why on earth would you have the temerity to do that? And my answer is, well, when I get on the platform with Larry, it makes me famous. And my friends say, no, it makes you a dumbass. That's enough of a confessional right now. But I wanted to say just a few words about Larry Lessig's concept of Creative Commons. I'm attracted to it for the following reasons. First, Larry makes it clear that he is respectful of and supports copyrighted material that artists create, and he believes it ought to be protected. But he also says, and I agree, that there are those people who have copyrighted material who may want to give up part of their copyright or all of it to put on the Creative Commons and let other people view it or hear it or whatever. And I have no problem with that. I think that's part of the free society in this country, that if you want other people to have your material that you have created free of charge, with your permission, wonderful. And I find that to be a salutary kind of thing. But I think it's also important, as Larry staunchly believes, that those people who have copyrighted material, whether it be a book or a television program, a home video, or music, or movie, or computer software, and who want it protected so that they can make sure that it can move through various venues where that material is brought to the public and given to consumers at fair and reasonable prices. So I think what Larry's come up with is a marvelous balance between the protection of copyright material and the dissemination of material that copyright owners want made available to others without any charge at all. So I thank you, Larry, for bringing this concept to life, and I think it's something that is useful and worthy, which is why I support this, what I call the Lessig Compact, the Creative Commons. So thank you for letting me say a few words, and I hope, Larry, the fact that I'm supporting you in this doesn't ruin your reputation. Thank you very much.
Okay, not to enter the fourth debate with Jack, but let's put aside the bullshit about this being my idea. It's not my idea. This is not my creation. This creation and this idea has come from others, and we've taken that idea and we've turned it into an organization that will produce new creative work for others to build on and share. But we start this organization framed by these two figures in this debate, Valenti and Barlow. And both of them permit us this middle place where creators are encouraged to protect, but also enabled to share their work so that others can build on it and so that their ideas can spread at lower prices than Jack would like them to spread, perhaps, but still spread broadly and widely. Now, we adopt this strategy now because there's an urgency to this debate. An urgency because the regulation being imposed on the creative process through laws like the DMCA and increasing eagerness to pass other laws to turn anybody who shares content into a criminal, the urgency of this context demands that we find a different way to support the creative process and the freedom to create in this process. A way different from what has happened now, because we need progress in this debate now. 4 years ago, we began the case of Eldred. And right now, we wait for five justices to make up their mind whether this simple claim is true, that the framers of our Constitution meant by limited times, a principled ideal, that creative work passes into a public domain after a limited time, or whether they meant the Constitution to be a tax code that lawyers find a loophole to jump through tricky reasoning about how limited times plus limited times equals just limited times. We have struggled for 4 years to win an argument that when ordinary people hear, they think is obvious. Now, we'll struggle in that context. We will, organizations like EFF will, organizations like the Center for Internet Society at Stanford will continue that lawyer's work. But what my father taught me first was that there is much more to be gained by stepping aside from the lawyer's work and working as builders who can construct an idea and carry it forward through the voluntary work of others who are just given the ability to protect and share their content widely so that we can teach this culture that our tradition is a tradition of creativity in an open, accessible form, not the tradition of creativity where creative work is locked down and controlled by organizations who don't know what an artist is. I ask you tonight to join with us in this effort to find this space and to build this idea. It's an ideal that must expand beyond the places it's lived so far. It has to capture the imagination of people, regular people, people who still can't fix their VCR, maybe we can't fix our VCR, but still people out there who matter to a political process, a voice that increasingly echoes in the chambers of weblogs like David Weiner pushes us to see increasingly as a space for political action, a voice that understands a balance here that isn't paid to force our politicians into a position where balance is sold in the name of the highest bidder. Creative Commons launches this process, and I'm extraordinarily honored that you would come to launch it with us, and I'm eager that you see the rest of this evening, what we've done so far, and what the kind of creativity we could do will mean to this process. We start on a stage with Valenti and Barlow, expressing agreement on an ideal, so we're free to build it strongly and quickly and capture an imagination that will turn this debate into something creative. I want that to be the legacy, at least that to be the legacy of this effort that Eric Eldred started 4 years ago, which his idea and the ideas of others in this space will produce in this organization, supported as it has been by many, many volunteers and foundations, but successful only when supported by ordinary understanding that our tradition is freedom, not control. Our tradition is creativity on top of freedom, not control. And that the ideology of control that dominates this debate must end now. Thank you for coming.